Let's go to the Lord, word of the Lord here in 1 Samuel 21 and 10. I will tell you, I didn't just get off the golf course. I didn't just skin a few catfish or anything like that. I try to get home around 2 to 3 o'clock every Tuesday night. Not that I haven't already prepared much of this, but I have to be in tune. I have to be in tune in order to feel like I have done God service, let alone you service. So you get the benefit of me doing God service because I have to answer him first, you second. And so let's go to 1 Samuel 21 and 10. I want to teach you something tonight from the word of the Lord. And David arose and fled that day for fear of Saul and went to Achish, the king of Gath. And the servants of Achish said unto him, Is not this David the king of the land? Did they not sing one to another of him in dances, saying, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s? And David laid up these words in his heart and was sore afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. And he changed his behavior before them and feigned himself mad in their hands and scrabbled at the doors of the gate and let his spittle fall down upon his beard. Then said Achish to his servants, Lo, see, the man is mad. Wherefore then have ye brought him to me? Have I need of a madman, of madmen, that ye should have brought this fellow to play the madman? Notice it says, this fellow to play the madman in my presence. Shall this fellow come into my house? Let him go. Let him go. I want to teach tonight, stop the madness. Stop the madness. Lord, I'm thankful for an opportunity. And that's what it always, every time you open, we open up your word, it is an opportunity for you to talk to us. And tonight we're going to dive in deep to your word. And we want to, as David said, we want to be at the fountain, at the water spout where the deep talk to the deep. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. I truly try not to scratch surfaces. Sometimes you need to, but if you really want to cut something, you scratch it to death and never cut it. I want to cut it. I want it rightly divided. If you scratch at it, but I want to divide it. If you're going to divide it, you got to cut it. Are you with me? Now, I quoted a scripture in the last week or two to somebody recently, and I know the Lord is wanting me to do something when I keep coming back to it accidentally. Just accidentally, I go back to it. So I was trying to study this madman thing, and I came up to this verse of scripture, and I'm going to read this to you. It's out of Proverbs, and after I read it, you do with it what you feel like you need to do with it and how it applies to you, okay? Will you do that? Let's go to Proverbs 26 and 17. I didn't even give them this because I wasn't really sure what I was going to do with it, but I feel like I need to read this tonight. Proverbs 26 and 17 says, He that passeth by and meddleth with strife, belonging not to him, is like one that taketh a dog by the ears. That's some wisdom there. You take a dog by the ears, he's going to holler and he's going to bite. Anytime you meddle in something that you don't belong meddling in, there's going to be some hollering and there's going to be some biting. As a madman who casteth firebrands, arrows, and death, so is the man that deceiveth his neighbor and saith, Am not I in sport? In other words, am I not showing you, it's not sport like let's go play tennis. It's I'm sowing strife. I'm sowing discord. I am acting openly with what I am trying to do. Now watch closely. Where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. You ever had a fireplace go out? You know why it went out? Either if you didn't have gas, it was because it ran out of wood. So where no fire is, the fire goeth out. So where there is no tale-bearer, the strife ceases. If there's nobody talking about what they shouldn't be talking about, and no one gives an ear to what they want to talk about, it'll stop. But as long as you say, here's a switch, here's a little piece of wood, it'll keep burning. But until you say, I had enough, they keep calling, they keep ringing, they keep emailing, they keep texting. As coals are in the burning coals and wood to fire, as coals are to the burning coals and wood to the fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the uttermost or the innermost parts of the belly. As kids, we grew up saying something that was a lie. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. I've been hurt far worse by words than I have sticks and stones. Burning lips and a wicked heart are like a potsherd covered with silver dross or impure silver. He that hateth dissembleth with his lips and layeth up deceit within him. When he speaketh fair, believe him not. For there are seven abominations in his heart, whose hatred is covered by deceit. His wickedness shall be shewed before the whole congregation. Whoso diggeth a pit shall fall therein, and he that rolleth the stone, it will return upon him. A lying tongue hateth those that are afflicted by it, but a flattering mouth worketh ruin. Enough said, right? Enough said. You put that wherever that needs to go. Stop the madness. Madness is not a physical state of being. It is a mental state of being where people are overcome with either eagerness. You ever said, man, he's mad about fishing. He's mad about that hunting. He's mad about something. They're overcome with eagerness, enthusiasm. It could be anger or lust or just excitement. There's just something that gets you starting, you acting crazy. You're to the point that they become impractical and unpredictable with their behavior. They're disturbed emotionally, and as we say, you're beside yourself. You are beside yourself. Stop the madness. Shake them. Stop the madness. Stop this. And I remember in the scripture where Paul, you know, was accused of being mad. You remember that? Paul is talking. He was one way, you know, killing the Christians. And all of a sudden, the Lord turned him around. He was just as hard the other way as he was the other way. And he comes before Festus, who knew him to be the other way. And he's telling him about how his conversion, all this. And Festus, the governor, says, Paul, thou art beside the stop this madness. Thou art beside themself. You're mad. Too much learning has made you mad. You're going after this thing too hard. You've gone crazy. He thought that he was really out of his mind because he was acting out of character to the man he once knew. And people go mad after things. I don't care. It can be Mardi Gras. It can be fishing. It can be mad after anything. That you become unreasonable, impractical, and beside yourself. David, in our text, is the master of madness. He is the master of going after something with all of his heart, right? When he danced before the ark, it wasn't a little two-step, a Texas two. No, he said he did it with all of his might. And even his wife ridiculed him. He did it so hard, right? Stop this madness. We've got to find a balance in living for God. I've seen people get so zealous about living for God. Man, they're telling everybody they're going to hell if you don't do it the way I did it, and you don't repent of your sin, you don't do this. And the Bible says they're overzealous to good works. Stop the madness. David was the master of madness. He knew how to change his behavior to fit any situation. Let me tell you, if David was an action figure, you'd need a staff, you'd need a sword, you'd need a slingshot, you'd need five smooth stones, you'd need a crown, you'd need to put on Jonathan's clothes. Huh? You'd need all kinds of things if David was an action figure, because he had all kinds of characters. And brother, whatever he went after, he went after. If it was Bathsheba, it was Bathsheba. Can't wait to have her. Stop the madness. Somebody said he's bipolar. No, he was. Lord, he had so many polarities. David was more than tripolar. Let me tell you, I wrote this down. Polarity. See, I knew y'all would want to know that. Polarity is the ability to produce unequal effects at different points in time. Somebody said, she went to bed this way, woke up that way. She was happy when she went to bed and angry when she got up. He went to work happy, come back mad. I don't know who I'm married to, right? Stop the madness. So David comes into a kingdom that was already scared, right? The kingdom of Israel was already scared because there was a man from where, brothers and sisters? The city of what? Gath, whose name was... Did y'all teach anything back in that Sunday school? His name was Goliath. Of Gath. That's what he's called. Goliath of Gath. And they were afraid of one man. And the shepherd boy wasn't. And Saul said, if you're going to fight him here, put on my armor. And it swallowed him. He said, I've not proven that. I'm going to go after him in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. He knew how to go after it with a slingshot. And I imagine they were like, oh my God, I'm embarrassed. I'm embarrassed to send him out there. Can you imagine? You're the king and you sent out a little boy with this and a staff. And he's doing it. I'm embarrassed. We're going to fight the giant with all this armor and an armor bearer on top of that as a shield to hold, you know, fight off the darts and all that. He's got a rock. A rag and a rock. But David went after it. And so we find Israel was already scared, but through his victory, it brought a calming effect to them, to Israel. But it brought out something in King Saul that was already there called jealousy. And so when David won that, the women in the streets began to get tambourines and began to dance. And they began to say, David, Saul has killed his thousands, but David his 10,000. He killed one man. And Saul heard them. And he said, they have ascribed to David 10,000. And they have ascribed to me but 1,000. And what more could he have but my kingdom? And the Bible says he eyed him from that day forward. Takes him into the palace, sits him at the table, and when nobody's around, he gets angry at him, and he takes a javelin and shoot, tried to kill him. But the Bible says that David behaved himself wisely in the sight. He knew how to change his behavior, and he behaved wisely in front of the people. When he threw that javelin at him, he exited wisely and appropriately. And went on about his business. But he was anointed to be the king. And David was running from Saul for fear. He was running for fear. Even one time, you remember, he cut off a piece of his garment while at night and they were sleeping. And he slipped up there through all of those all of the Israelites and all these warriors. He goes and cuts a piece. I mean, he's brave. And then he gets down in the valley while the king's up on the mountain. He goes, nana, nana, boo, boo. Check this out. See if you got that piece of your garment or do I have it? And when he did that, his heart smote him. And King Saul said, surely you are the Lord's anointed, and he hath replaced me with you. He even admitted that I know God hath appointed another man to take my kingdom. He said, I will cease from chasing you. But his repentance didn't last but a few weeks or days. And the madness, jealousy, the Bible says jealousy is as cruel as, y'all remember that one, as cruel as the grave. Oh, jealousy. It puts you in jail. Saul repented, but it didn't last long. And he goes back to chasing David, who was anointed to be the king. So if I got it straight, we got the anointed chasing the anointed. We have two men that are fighting one war against each other, and each are saying, he's going to kill me, he's going to kill me. Surely he will kill me. And later they say, surely the Lord will deliver him into my hands. And the other one's saying, surely the Lord will deliver him into my hands. Well, somebody's wrong. Or both of them's wrong. So our text says that David is now in flight, and he is running for his life. He goes to a priest who was really few in the land at this time. And he goes to a priest not to offer a sacrifice, not to get prayer or to say a repentant prayer or to do anything else other than to survive. He's there for fear, and he's there because he's hungry. And it was there that David ate of the shewbread that was mentioned later in the New Testament. Did David not eat of the shewbread? And while he's there, he asked the priest, he said, do you have a sword? The shepherd boy, the one that killed him with the rag and the rock, says, do you have a sword? And he said, I have one sword here, and it's wrapped in the ephod. You know what that was? The prayer garment. That sword was wrapped in the ephod. He said, and it is Goliath of Gath. Sword. The Bible tells us how big that sword was. I don't know, but it was big and heavy. And David said, there is none like it. Let me have it. So we have our action figure now. We put a sword in his hand. And he's on the run with this sword. Now I'm trying to help y'all figure this out because I had to figure it out. And David, stricken with fear, he exports himself into what seemed to be a very unlikely place. He runs to one of the cities of the Philistines called Gath, the city of Goliath. The very man he killed, he brings his sword. Now, the Bible doesn't say he brings it, but he took it from the priest. He goes into that city, and I'll assume he has that sword. And he said, there's none like it in the land. He goes into there, not with a slingshot and five smooth stones. He goes in there with the sword of Goliath of Gath. I mean, is he crazy? But can I tell you, David had a motive. First of all, David flees to a city, listen close, to escape from Saul. Knowing that Saul will not come to the city of Gath. Knowing that he will say, if he's in there, they can have him because they'll kill him. They'll kill him. I don't have to kill him. So he flees to a place where he knows Saul, he's very wise, won't come. And when David enters into the city, the Bible says in our text that the servants of Achish quickly recognized him as David, the giant killer. I don't know if it was the sword that gave it away or whether it was his appearance that gave him away. I don't know if he was just looked. I just got to believe that sword had something to do with it. They go, sword? It ain't but one of those. Where'd you get that from? And when they saw that it was him, they began to ask him, are you not the man? Now listen close. They recognized him and called him. They said, they recognized and said to him, is this not David, king of Israel. They didn't say, is this that little shepherd boy that killed? They knew he was the king. Now, he's running. He don't have a crown on. He's not sitting on the throne. But the enemy recognized the anointing was on his life and said, is this not the king of Israel? And they begin to say, and didn't the women sing about the 1,000 and the 10,000? Didn't they sing that song? And when David heard this, whoo, my, he had two positive identifications, the sword and the dance. David took note of this, the Bible says, and laid it up his heart and was sore afraid of King Achish, the king of Gath. And verse 13, I read it to you again because I want to emphasize something. And he changed his behavior before them and feigned himself. That means to represent one fictitiously. He feigned himself. Now, when they saw him, he wasn't doing that. I want to show you something, because first you're not going to believe me and I have to prove it. But, you know, when they saw him, he was just, I'm just going to do, you know, just, he was just going around. But when they said, are you not, I mean, you weren't doing that, because they watched him a while. Come on, brothers and sisters, use your imagination. They didn't just go, oh, hey, how about, hey, you. No, they're like. They studied him. He wasn't going through the city doing that. There's a reason. And as soon as he saw they recognized him, he started scrabbling at the wall. Spit running down his face. But they had already recognized him. He changed his behavior before them and feigned himself mad in their hands and scrabbled on the doors of the gate and let his spittle fall down. I'm telling you, he went after whatever it was. Then said Achish unto his servants, see if I can lead you into this. Lo, you see the man is mad. Therefore, then have ye brought him to me. Why have you brought this madman to me? Have I need of madmen that ye have brought this fellow to play? He feigned himself to play the madman in my presence. Shall this fellow come into my house? Are we having a carnival or something I don't know about? Have you brought him for me to be entertained by him? I won't submit something to you. He knew who he was. He knew who he was. Have y'all brought this guy to play the madman from me? We're not having a circus or anything at my house. Just let him go. Knowing he was to be the king of Israel. Knowing that he would be God's anointed. Knowing he would be his neighbor. Knowing that God was with him. Stop the madness, David. Stop the madness. You don't need to do that. I'll let you go. I'll let you go. It gave the king an excuse to let him go. I'm going to now prove to you this. Because even though David was released, his fear of Saul still remained. Six chapters later. 1 Samuel 27 and 1. And David said in his heart, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. Same story, same song, second verse. There is nothing better for me than I should speedily escape into the land of the Philistines, and Saul shall despair of me to seek me any more in any coast of Israel. so shall I escape out of his hands. Same thing. And David arose, and he passed over with his 600 men that he accumulated right after the event I just mentioned to you. 600 men that were with him unto the same guy. The same guy. Achish, the son of Maoch, king of Gath. And David dwelt. You see, he already knew him. And David dwelt with Achish at Gath, he and his men, and every man with his household, even David with his two wives, Ahinoam and the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the Carmelitess, and Nabal's wife. David had already established favor with Achish. And somehow, I think we've always thought that he deceived that king. But now, my brothers and sisters, I'm trying to teach you, he didn't deceive him at all. That man recognized the power of the God he served. He recognized that if that boy could kill a giant with a slingshot, I don't want to touch him. Better at least stop the madness, David. You don't need to do all of that. Let him go. And it was told Saul that David was fled to Gath, and he sought no more again for him. And David said unto Achish, if I have now found grace in thine eyes, let them give me a place in some town in the country that I may dwell there. For why should thy servant dwell in the royal city with thee? He honored him. Now you don't go with your 600 men, all your wives and all your children to an unknown destiny, right? He already knew he had favor with this king. And I don't have time tonight to tell you all the story, so I'll briefly just tell you, while he is at Achish, this is where we read the story where you recover all. David was not doing right. He was not approving what he did. I want you to understand that. He was in a city of the Philistines. He was trying to get away from Saul. He had really given up on the kingdom. He had decided just to settle down and just be a common old Joe and just live his life out and enjoy his family. But I'm going to tell you, once God anoints a man, the gift and the calling of God is without repentance. It's going to keep after you. Jonah, you can run, but you can't hide. And so he decided he would settle down. But while he is there in this city that King Achish gave unto him, he loses everything. You know the story. But while that is going on, there is a war going on that they would not let David go in because it was against who? His master. And they said, we're a little afraid. Now, I know you're true, and I know you won't do this. But the King Achish said, but the men of the armies, of the, they're afraid you're going to reconcile your differences with your master and turn on us. So why don't you just stay here? And that's when he lost everything. But in that battle, Saul died, and now he becomes the king. What I'm trying to tell somebody, stop the madness. You're going to be the king. You're going to be the king. You don't have to do all these things to become what God anoints you to be. Even though David acted the way he acted, and you act the way you act, God is patient and long-suffering, waiting for you to stop the madness. Sometimes people get things in their craw. How many of you know what a craw is? Yeah, you know what a craw is, and they just won't let it go. And they are overcome with what they can't swallow. And so they get involved with all kinds of things that they should not be involved with, and they lay the things of God aside to go madly after something else. Am I helping anybody? You don't have to say amen. Just, you've got to stop the madness. I'm not saying you're crazy. I'm just saying, remember this. You need to be like the Lord was. He said, the zeal of thine house hath consumed or eaten me up. It's consumed me. Go after God with all your heart. David said this, as the deer panteth after the water, so does my heart panteth after thee, O God. I'm going to chase him. Hallelujah. With all my heart, my mind, and my soul. And as they come tonight, I want to try to reach somebody that maybe is struggling. It can be, as I said, madness can be enthusiastic things. It can be over anger. You know, the problem with people that really get angry and mad, you know, they get mad at their wife and they punch the sheetrock. You have to fix that. Because if you don't, every time you look at it, it's going to remind you how angry you are. You see, what happens when you're angry, you forsake the real reason. Madness makes you forsake the real reason. David, stop the madness. What was David's madness? It wasn't really Saul. Not really, it was fear. It was fear. He was overcome with fear. Can I tell you something? A certain amount of fear is good. It's good. I'm not really afraid of a snake, but I do fear them. I fear them enough not to pick them up. I fear them enough to get back. I'm not afraid of driving a vehicle, but I'm scared enough to buckle up. I'm scared enough to drive the speed limit. I love my wife to death, but I got a fear too. That's right. He said we need to have a fear lest we come up short of the promises of God. The fear that I have for her is that I don't please her and I don't do, or I make a mistake. Now, I'm not talking about one of them bozo mistakes. I'm just talking about I want to please her. And I have a fear of not really providing everything that she could want in any way, because I'm just that kind of guy. If you tell me something's broken, let me fix it. And I've told her many times, you in here, Jerry? Okay. Well, I've told her many times, if you've got an issue, don't tell me if you don't want me to fix it. Because I got a fear of it going on. I got a fear of not fixing. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? And David's problem was he was unpredictable because of his fear. But God had anointed him. Now let me read you this closing scripture. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God hath not given us the Spirit. What are you worrying about? If you're going to keep doing that, please get you a black Sharpie and mark out a bunch of scriptures. A bunch of scriptures. Made overcomers by the word of our testimony, the blood of the Lamb. Just mark that one out. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Mark that one out. Because fear will rob you of every scripture in this book. I have a fear of coming up short. That means I better keep working. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, would you stand tonight, but of power. Not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. The spirit of fear is not acquainted with God in the form of scaredness and afraid. Do you remember when Adam and Eve sinned? What did they do? Hid. They went and hid from the very one that could help them. And he said, Adam, where art thou? He said, why didn't you come out when I called your name? He said, I was afraid. Close your eyes tonight. What are you afraid of? What paralyzes you and what makes you run? What makes your mind run in the wrong direction? You're not appointed to fear, but of love, peace, and a sound mind. As you come, make your way to the front, please. I want to help somebody tonight who's just stop the madness. Stop it. When you even look at Christ, Jesus, in the garden, fear almost overwhelmed him. There he was praying, sweating, as it were, great. You know what that is? That's them fear drops. Because I know what's ahead. I'm scared. He was flesh like you were flesh. He had blood like you had. He hurt like you had. I'm scared. Can't you pray with me 1 hour? I'm scared. But then he prayed, not my will, but thine be done. And then he overcome the fear. And when you realize, my brothers and sisters, that you're walking in the steps that God has ordered for you, what are you afraid of? What? He said, fear not the one that can destroy the body or the soul, but the one that can destroy the body and the soul in hell. It doesn't say run from him. It says respect him. So tonight, please close your eyes. I'm asking you to stop the madness and pray, Lord, take this from me. David said, when my heart is overwhelmed, and somebody I feel like tonight is in that overwhelmed stage. Something is bothering you that's overwhelming you. I want you to lay it down tonight. As they sing tonight, I ask you to talk to God. I don't need to anoint you with oil. It's going to be between you and God. I'm asking you to talk to Him and say, Lord, take the fear away. Take the doubt away. Take the anxiety away. Oh, God, put me back on the track I need to be, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, God, help me, Lord. Give me that sound mind. Give me that love, God. Give me that peace. I want to enjoy my peace, but I'm being driven by these other things, Lord.